For our scripture reading, will you turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 12? 2 Samuel chapter 12. And while you're turning to that, I'd just like to make mention of something. My father, whom many of you knew, he went to be with the Lord 14 years ago. I mention this merely to say this, that Waldrick Publishers are reprinting this year 8 of my dad's books. 2 of them, they have copies of them down in the book room. And there's another one we had republished, which my brother and I decided to do that. It's entitled 60 Years in His Service. And the only difference between the first one, if you have that, and this one, is that there's some pictures of various instances and times of my dad's experience. So, if you're interested in any of those, they're available to you. We're going to read in 2 Samuel chapter 12, beginning with verse 13. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child that is born to thee shall surely die. And Nathan departed in his home. And the Lord struck his child, and Uriah's wife bare unto David, and was very sick. David therefore besought God for the child, and David fasted and went in, and lay all night upon the earth. The elders of his house arose and went to him to raise him up from the earth, but he would not, and neither did he eat bread with them. And it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. And the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead, for they said, behold, while the child was yet alive, we spake unto him, and he wouldn't hearken unto our voice. How will he then vex himself when we tell him that the child is dead? But when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servants, is the child dead? And they said, he is dead. Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel and came into the house of the Lord and worshiped. Chapter 15 of 2 Samuel. Verse 30. And David went up by the secret, by the ascent of Mount Olivet, and wept as he went up, and had his head covered. And he went barefoot. And all the people that was with him covered every man his head. And they went up, weeping as they went up. One told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, O Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. And it came to pass that when David was come to the top of the mount, he worshipped God. David was a worshiper. David worshipped God. I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, God said, who shall fulfill all my will. He had to be a worshiper. For the Father seeks worshipers. Interesting, is it not, that the only two occasions on which we read that David worshiped God was when he lost his son. And when he lost his kingdom because of a rebellious son. You know, it's not easy to lose a son. Abraham knew what it was to lose a son. Take now thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest, and offer him up for a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Not easy to lose a son. Job lost 7 sons and 3 daughters in one day. And the Bible doesn't tell us, but I believe that Job wept. The Bible does tell us that he worshiped. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, God has brought weeping and worshiping together. And what God has joined together, let no one put asunder. David, what a picture he is, God's beloved son. Name means beloved. God opened the heavens twice and say, this is my beloved son. September 9, 1960, we lost a son. We had 5 sons. 1 daughter. David was the middle son. We named him Beloved. But we loved all of our children. He wasn't loved his preference to anybody else, but often when our boys were small, I would take them on my lap and I would say, you're my favorite number one son, or you're my favorite number two son. But you know, after a while they found out that what number two and number three meant. But there is a sense, a blessed sense, and with every child is an only son. To lose a son, it's very difficult not to weep when you lose a son, but it's a wonderful thing to worship when you lose a son. David had the assurance, I'm not going to get him back. He's not coming back to me, but I'm going to see him again. And you know, when you have a son that knows the Lord, that's the assurance that you have. You haven't lost him. He's only gone on ahead. Lose a son. David wept because he lost a son. We didn't know how prophetic it was when our son David was married, and I was the fellow that had the job to marry him and his wife. And they had a duet that sang at their wedding, and this is what they sang. In heavenly love abiding, no chain my heart shall fear, and safe in such confiding, for nothing changes here. The storm may roar without me. My heart may low be laid, but God is round about me. Can I be afraid? Wherever he may guide me, no want shall turn me back. My shepherd is beside me, and nothing can I lack. His wisdom ever waketh, his sight is never dim. He knows the way he takes, but I will walk with him. Green pastures are before me, which yet I have not seen. Bright skies will soon be o'er me, where the dark clouds have been. My hope I cannot measure. My path to life is free. My Savior has my treasure. He will walk with me. Here yet another morning, my spirit may be free, as absent from the body, at home, O Lord, with thee. O sleep, O rest, thou precious, as guarded by thy care, I'm waiting for the promise to meet thee in the air. The Lord himself, he indeed, amid the ransomed throng, its glory, joy, and beauty, its never-ending song. O day of wondrous promise, the bridegroom and the bride are seen in glory ever, forever satisfied. David's son, it's not easy to lose a son, and particularly in David's case, because God had told him, I've forgiven your sin. For that innocent son, he shall surely die. David went, as he thought about that. He's dying because of my sin. I'm going to spare you, God said to him through Nathan, but not that boy. He shall surely die. David thought that God might change his mind. And he wept, and he fasted, and he prayed. You know what? Interesting, isn't it? That linkage. I find it intensely interesting. Weeping and worshiping. The Lord Jesus tells in the scriptures, you remember about that woman? He had been invited to go to the Pharisee's home. And the Pharisee looked at this woman. She came in off the street. Just a woman of the street. And she began to anoint his feet with the precious ointment. She bathed his feet with her tears. She took and kissed those feet. And Simon said, you know, if he really knew what kind of a woman she was, he wouldn't have touched her with a 10-foot pole. That's a paraphrase. If he only knew what kind of woman she was. And the Lord told him the story of the woman, the man who had two debtors. One owed 50 pence and the other owed 500 pence. And the Lord forgave them both. And which of them will love him most? I suppose the one who has been forgiven. She bathed his feet with her tears. I think some of the most precious moments in my experience as a Christian is when we've been at the Lord's Supper and when we've been bathed in tears. My sin. My sin. Oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin. Not in part, but the whole. It's nailed to the cross and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. You know, it's good to take a walk up and down and to consider our sins. The old Puritan, he used to say, before I preached, he said, I used to take a walk up and down among my past sins. And old John Newton, he had inscribed on the wall of his Bible study room these words that had meant so much to him. Thou shalt remember. You know, it's easy to forget. To forget from where we've come. Thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee. And when he had that epitaph written, it read something like this: John Newton, clerk, libertine, a servant of slaves in Africa, was by the grace of God forgiven, pardoned, restored, and appointed to preach the faith which he once sought to destroy. Good to go back among our past sins. No wonder he wrote Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. It was grace that taught my heart to fear, and it was grace my fears relieved. And how precious did God's grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares I have already come. It's grace that has brought me safe thus far, and it's grace that will lead me home. It's good to do a little weeping as we think of God's abounding mercy to us. We who deserve nothing. To remember the scriptures as the pit from whence we have been digged. David says, I said I will confess my sin, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my heart. The vilest offender who truly believes. That moment from Jesus of pardon received. Let's think about the story a little bit of David's sin that precedes what we have here. David looked out of his window one day to the time when kings were supposed to go forth to battle, but he was home loitering on the job. And he saw this beautiful woman bathing herself. And so he sent word to have her sent to the palace. She was the wife of one of David's 30 mighty. He lifts him. He was a devoted soldier. Loyal from his heart to the king. Willing to give his life for the king. David had this woman brought to his home. Not so long after that, she sent word that she was with child. She was pregnant. And now he has a problem. One sin leads to another. And so he sent word to his general, Joab. I want you to give Uriah a furlough. Send him home. Needs a little rest. Look, well. And he thought that Uriah would just go home. Just as though things were normal. But he said, how can I go home? There's battles to be fought for the king. I can't go back to life as it is. And so he didn't go home. And David realized he still had a problem. So then he decided we'd get him drunk. People will do things when they're drunk that they wouldn't do when they're sober. Get him drunk. But he still didn't go home. And then David wrote a letter to King Joab, to General Joab. And he says, I want you to set Uriah in the forefront of the battle. And when the fighting is really hot, just withdraw the troops so he won't have anything to back him up. That's the way he'll get you. And that trust him. Soldier. That one of David's 30 mightiest. Carried in his hand. The death warrant from the king whom he sought to serve. And of course, it worked. Uriah was killed and Joab sent the message back to David. David took the wife of Uriah to be his wife after a short period. And the scripture says the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. Boy, that's a massive understatement, isn't it? The thing that David had done displeased the Lord. Because of this, Nathan said to him, thou hast caused the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. You brought dishonor on the name of the Lord. The Lord sent Nathan to see David, and you remember the story he told him about the two men, the rich man, he had all kinds of flocks and herds. And then there's this poor man, he just had this little female lamb. And he took that female lamb away from this poor man. The rich man did. In order to accommodate someone else. And David was inferior. Such skullduggery. The man that does this, he says, he's going to restore fourfold for that. Nathan said, thou art the man. Can you imagine with that convicting force that word came over to David's heart? There is no question about it, and God's word doesn't cover it up. David said, my sin is ever before. He sinned greatly. But he repented greatly. And God forgave him. David's sin was not something that happened when he first came to know the Lord. He had won many mighty battles for the Lord. It came in his middle years, in the mature years, in the dangerous years of a man's life. That's when it came. Years ago, I read a little book called A Brother Indeed on the life of R.C. Chapman. And in it, there's this little story. R.C. Chapman and a man by the name of William H. They were both up in their 90s. And they were going out visiting these men up in the 90s, and not in a car. They were walking. And it was a day when the place was just all covered over with sleet. Very slick. And Robert Chapman says, you know, we're doing pretty good for a couple of old men. And William H. just simply said, remember Gideon. Explain anything else. Do you remember what happened to Gideon? Right at the tail end of his life. And look at those golden earrings. Do you remember? And it says, because of this, Gideon and his family, you know, they're kind of led into idolatry as a result of this. And what William Hague was saying to R.C. Chapman was that him that thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. David did not sin any sin like this in his youth. It was in his mature years. But how wonderful that God forgave him his sin. But when David looked at that little infant, he said, he's dying because of my sin. He's dying because of my sin. He didn't deserve to die. I deserve to die. But he's dying because of my sin. We have no difficulty relating that to our Lord Jesus Christ, the holy, innocent, guileless Son of God. In him is no sin, says John, but he was manifested to take away my sin. David fasted, he wept, and he prayed. The horror of his sin was before him. Lay all night on the earth. And David's servant feared to tell him about it, as we read. But then, after he died, David arose and washed his face and anointed himself and he worshipped. Isn't that lovely? He wept and he worshipped. And I'm sure every one of us at times in our lives, as we've looked at our Lord Jesus Christ bearing our sins in his own body on a tree, the tears have rolled down our cheeks. I remember in 1967, being at the Grand Rapids, Michigan, Thanksgiving Day Conference. They had a meeting in the afternoon. It was conducted just as we conduct the meeting at our Lord's Supper, where every brother is free, give out of him, bless himself and praise, share a little word from the Word of God. Said everything except they didn't break bread at this particular meeting. And they just said that if anybody had a little word, just limit yourself to about 10 minutes, no more, because others will have a chance to participate. And the meeting lasted an hour and a half. And I remember Brother Will Pell got up. And he said, you know, there are two hymns in our hymnal. One of them says, thousand, thousand praises be, Lord of glory unto thee. Now he says, a thousand, that's 2,000. And the hymn that he was giving out, he just gave out the hymn, that he was giving out, he said, it's the same translation of that same hymn. A different translation of that same German hymn. And he said, I discovered this years ago, and I asked my brother Alfred Gibbs if he would put it to music, which he did. And that hymn says, thou life of my life, to Jesus, thou death of the death that is mine, for me was thy cross and thine anguish, thy love and thy sorrow divine. Thou suffered the cross and the torment that I might forever go free. A thousand thanksgivings I bring, blessed Savior, to thee. He said, you know, a thousand, that's 2,000. I'm Dutch, he said. I'm not German. But I was visiting not so long ago in the home of an old German couple, and they were singing the old German hymn. He said, Dutch and German are somewhat similar. He said, I could understand what they were singing. And they were not singing a thousand, that's 2,000. He said, in German, they were singing 1,000 times. Now he said, 1,000 times 1,000. He said, that's the man. And I never looked at him. It just filled my heart, he said, to their lives. That over 300 years ago, the saints in Germany were singing to the Lord Jesus, thanks, a million. You know, we will never fill with the wonder of it all. Oh, the wonder that Jesus loved me. The love that the Father bestowed in the gift of His Son. To lose a son. What was it? Not the thought that thee to give thy son. Yield thy will alone. For us, by sin undone, it was love unbounded, love for us, let him yield his son for us. Because of David's sin, God said, I'm not going to allow you. You've been a man that has killed. You've been a soldier. You've taken blood. I'm not going to allow you to build a temple. So, it's not going to be known as David's temple. It's going to be Solomon's temple. Your name isn't even going to be on the place. David's temple. No, it's not going to be David's temple. It's going to be Solomon's temple. David says, well, if I can build it, I'm going to help the man that's going to build it. He just says that the house of the Lord must be exceeding magnificent. Solomon's temple of long since crumbled to dust. But God gave David, the span of his sins to rest, a far greater privilege. He allowed him to build a temple of praise. The Psalm of David. The sweet singer of Israel. Yet, he sinned greatly. But David was a worshiper. I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who shall do all my will. And then we read that David worshipped in connection with the loss of his kingdom. You remember how his son Absalom's name means the father of peace. He was not anything but the father of peace. But he was a real politician. He went around kissing all the babies like they do and making himself very attractive. Won the hearts of the people over to him, and David is fleeing. You know, because the threat of his own son. His own son, the one whom he had fathered, he was the one who had risen up in the rebellion against him. Can you realize how the Lord Jesus must have felt? He's sobbing. He's weeping over Jerusalem. And says, oh, if you'd only know the things which belong unto your feet. But now they're hidden from your eyes. He's weeping over Jerusalem. The city of peace, but anything but the city of peace. It was there that our Lord was crucified, despised and rejected. And he stands, he came unto his own received him not, despised and rejected of men. David, it says, he's going. And it says, as he went up, he wept as he went up. Climbing that hillside, weeping as he went. His head covered went barefoot. All of the people with him covered every man his head. And they went up weeping as he went up. It says he cried to him who was able to save him from death with strong crying and tears. Weeping. He beheld the city and he wept over it. But he also worshiped. That's what it says. When he was come to the top of the mount, he worshiped God. I wonder, as we come together to worship our Lord, are we weeping as we go up? As we think of that great sacrifice that he made for us, as we think of the fact that he was thrown out of the world in ignominy and shame, as we think of the fact that he was forsaken of God on our behalf, mark what cries there are waking echoes from dark Calvary's hill. God, my God, art thou forsaking him who always did thy will? Weeping. We look away at the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. We see him, the one who had come to be king, the one who had the right to be king. Now he's leaving as a rejected king. We will not have this man to reign over us. And David is here leaving as a rejected king. And our Lord Jesus Christ, he's leaving as a rejected king. But God says, I want you to know, he's the king. And over his cross are written those words, Jesus of Nazareth, the king. He's the king of the Jews. He's not only the king of the Jews, he's the king of kings and he's the Lord of lords. We do not yet see all things put under him, but we see him crowned with glory and honor. He who by the grace of God tasted death for every man, and in his times he will show who is the only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Lord of glory, we adore thee. Christ of God, ascend and high. Heart and soul we bow before thee, glorious now beyond the sky. Thee we worship, thee we praise, excellent in all thy ways. Royal robes shall soon invest. Royal splendors crown thy brow, Christ of God, our souls confess thee king and sovereign. Even now, thee we reverence, thee obey, own thee Lord and Christ always. Tears. You know, my father often used to say, he was won for the Lord by tears. He went to a meeting in Grand Rapids, Michigan. He was 20 years old. Brought up in an assembly home in Holland. Came to the United States at the age of 17. At the age of 20, he came to Christ. There was a big, tall Dutchman, about 65 inches tall. His name was George Vandermeulen. I never met him. I heard my dad speak about him. After the meeting, the gospel had been preached. My father said it had made no impression on him whatsoever. He'd heard it all before. He knew the gospel. Made no impression on him whatsoever. He said, this brother, after the meeting, he came and he put his arms around my dad. He didn't say anything. But the tears were rolling down his cheeks. And my dad said he went back the place where he was staying. He stayed with his brother, room with his brother, 2 years older than him. And he said, I couldn't remember anything that that man had said, the preacher. But he said, I thought, you know, this man is weeping over me, and I'm not even concerned about my own soul. And it was this man's concern that led to my dad's concern. Many years ago, we had a great big meeting of the Salvation Army. And William Booth, the founder, couldn't be there. But he sent a telegram. Two words. This conference. Dry tears. Dry tears. The scripture says, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Doubtless of his own. Tears. God lives to see our tears. Is our heart really in us? Is it nothing to you, all you that pass by? Behold and see. Is there any sorrow like unto my sorrow? And when we come together to remember the Lord Jesus Christ, sometimes we sing with joy and sorrow. We do remember thee. May God help us to take to heart this great worshiper day. He wept, first of all, because of the loss of a son who died because of his sin. And he wept because of the loss of the kingdom. And it was due to a rebellious son. And David could see in that innocent son, that's my Savior. That's my Savior. He died for me. And he could see in that rebellious son, that's me. That's me. I've been a rebel. But oh, how wonderful that God loves to take rebels and make worshipers of you. May God bless his word. Shall we pray? Our Father, we're thankful for this little meditation on thy word. Surely, the fact that thou hast brought these two in connection with that life of that man, of whom thou didst say, he's a man after my own heart. Lord, we pray that we may have tender hearts like David. We may be willing to acknowledge our sin and rejoice in the fact that thou dost save and forgive sinners and make saints out of them. And we do pray, our Father, that we may go forth from this day together with a renewed purpose in our hearts to meditate over and over again on the glorious fact that it was for pride that I am not. He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. May it humble us and help us be compassionate for others who are still without Christ and Savior and Lord. Bless our fellowship together throughout the day and the rest of the meetings that are before us. We thank thee now for the refreshment that has been provided. Bless our time and these things and those that are to us and those that have provided them for us. We give you thanks for all of these things in the precious and worthy name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
We can go down now for coffee and then return at 11:20 for a message and then a discussion of topics at 12 with lunch at 1 o'clock. We're dismissed for now and we'll come back in 20 minutes.